Welcome into the latest edition of the PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, Packers Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Lazarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joined alongside, as always, by Tom Silverstein, also of the Journal Sentinel. And we are back in Milwaukee after a long week down in Indianapolis.
Yeah, for sure.
Where hopefully you were following along every day at PackersNews.com, JSOnline as well. This is round two of this podcast. we attempted to do a special roadshow edition up 65 and up 94 with our cohort Olivia Reiner from the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I think didn't quite work very well.
No, so I got home and I usually mix the recording and try to put it online, and all I could hear was. You know, we had a lot of wind blowing through our car. So it's too bad. We tried to, make it on the road,
right.
The travel show, you know. But, oh, well.
Yeah, it's here we are, about 10 days out of free agency. But let's take a look back, though, at the combine. I mean, the reason we're there is to get to know some of these prospects, and early in the week we heard from Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst kind of ran through that through our first podcast. So, you know, people want to know number 12 overall, number 30 overall.
Yeah,
what are the Packers doing? Who are they looking at?
Well, you know, let's take a look at some of the positions and some of the performances, because this is kind of what they're doing. We know that. At number 12, they're probably going to be looking for a pass rusher. It's a really good draft for defensive linemen and edge guys. And I think, you know, there's a chance that, you know, given how much teams are chasing quarterbacks or other players, that someone of significance could drop to them at 12. And, you know, among the guys that seem to be most logical would be the edge guy, Montez Sweat, Brian Burns from Florida State. Some of the bigger guys like Josh Allen and Quinnen Williams, those guys are going to be gone.
The Oliver kid out of Houston.
Yeah, Ed Oliver. Those guys are probably going to be gone. But, you know, your favorite guy, Ja'Kai Polite, don't know if he'll be
he might be available at that point.
He probably will be. Yeah. He will definitely be available. Whether anybody wants him, that'll be a question. There's going to be some offensive tackles there, too.
Yeah.
You know, the kid from Alabama, Jonah Williams, right?
Yeah. And, I wonder if Washington State's Andre Dillard shot up the board a bit. I mean, look, running that Mike Leach air raid offense, but a lot of what the league is doing currently uses some of that. And obviously, I think the Packers, having drafted Cole Madison a year ago, well aware of Andre Dillard.
I got a chance to talk to him, actually. And interesting guy. I think he's pretty athletic. 3'15". You know, ran right around 5.0, which isn't terrible. But I think he's the kind of guy who can play inside or outside. He doesn't have the longest arms, but he might project to playing inside. And the Packers have always liked tackles at the guard position.
Right. It's, it's interesting. Brian Gutekunst is going to have some options. You know, I know, you know, once the Saints kept winning games, you know, people were a little concerned, I guess, that pick dropped all the way to 30, but, you know, whether he decides to move back or not, let's just pretend that he's going to stay at 12 and 30. You know, I think that the two starters are there, because you mentioned quarterback, and that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Kyler Murray, if Dwayne Haskins, or both, you know, impress enough, or let's just say, you know, the kid, I'm forgetting his name offhand, but one who Steve Smith went down to chastise for throwing too many rockets during the receiver workouts.
Oh, not Drew Locke, was it?
No, it was, I know you guys are looking at us. It's one of those I'm forgetting where he's from. But anyway, you know, you get a third quarterback in there. DK Metcalf, the way he performed, you figure there's going to be a running back that pops up there. Well, all of a sudden at 12, Brian Gutekunst is looking at a pass rusher who he might have had a top 10, top 8 grade on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be real excited about that.
Well, let's go through it position by position and sort of assess what's there, whether there's a guy the Packers might take at 12 or at 30. Let's start with the tight ends, because this is at least from what scouts are saying, it's a pretty good class for tight ends. It's pretty deep. And there's probably two or three guys who are first-round ability. T.J. Hockenson, probably number one, wouldn't you think, from Iowa?
Yeah, I think most, just overall, solid in pretty much every metric, measurable and then intangible, I think.
Right. And, you know, the thing that will be interesting is how his teammate, Noah Fant, affects him. Right. If anybody's going to make a mistake, or I don't know if it's a mistake, but jump at someone who's not as productive, it's Noah Fant, because this guy ran like the wind for 249 pounds, ran a 4.5 flat. I mean, that's getting down the field.
Yeah, there's, I think, only five running backs ran faster than him.
Yeah, vertical of 39.5, 33-inch arm length. So fairly big hands, 9.75. Not the biggest on the tight end spectrum. But this guy is, is he Jimmy Graham? Kind of a Jimmy Graham type.
He's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
He's 6'4", 249. Now, Hockenson is almost 6'5", 251, ran a 4.7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Fant was actually better in the bench press, but Hockenson is known more as a blocker, right?
Yeah, he enjoys blocking. Isn't afraid, wasn't afraid to say it, and you see it on film. I think Hockenson, it's funny, Tom, I think at the combine most people feel he's the quote-unquote safe pick,
mm-hmm.
whereas maybe Fant and some of these other guys, Irv Smith, maybe there's some athletic upside that you can project, in 2-3 years, where I think Hockenson is kind of that guy they feel is ready to play
ready to play away. Yeah.
Because there's no issues with getting him on in line to block and being okay with maybe splitting time with a guy, that type of thing.
Yeah. The problem I see is that if you're taking a tight end that high, tight ends do not typically have much impact right away. And Gutekunst needs impact, and that doesn't mean passing up a good player, but there's also some other tight ends. You mentioned Irv Smith from Alabama, who a lot of people like. He's a little shorter, 6'2.5", but runs a 4.63, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think what would be interesting to me, Tom, is if tight end becomes a pick in the first 46 for the Packers,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that sort of indicate an idea of where Matt LaFleur wants this offense to go to a degree? I mean, people want to say, Zach Ertz caught 115 balls. Mm-hmm. George Kittle set the NFL record for receiving yards as a tight end.
Another Iowa tight end, by the way.
Right, and I'm not going to deny that we all know Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed to a degree when he was healthy. But those guys were all, third rounders?
Yeah.
Fourth rounders?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's if you're going to draft a tight end, are they thinking day one starter, he's catching 75 passes?
Right.
Or do they look and say, wow, this is a loaded group, we can get a guy in round three and he'll just develop?
Well, that's why they went out and said that they're going to keep Jimmy Graham. Because right now I don't know that they have any better options. In free agency, there's the guy from Baltimore. Is it Nick Block?
Nick Boyle.
Boyle, sorry. He's gotten a lot of attention he got a lot of attention at the combine. You know, his agent was all over the place talking with teams, and I'm assuming that's about him. So that's a guy that there may be some competition for. But again, I think you're right. I think they can pull someone out of the third, fourth, fifth round who can be a pretty darn good player.
So. Yeah, it's a recent history of first-round tight ends has not been great.
Let's just
put it that way. I mean, it's kind of like a first-round receiver. Unless you're picking Julio Jones and A.J. Green in the top four.
Right.
You know, I mean, after that, it's kind of a roll of the dice to a degree.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we can assume, we'll go and move on, and assume that the Packers are not coveting a running back in the worst way.
Right.
But I wouldn't doubt if they took a running back, would you?
No. I think, you know, if this is an area where they feel the draft can suit their needs, I think so. I mean, on one hand, on paper, it makes sense. Hey, what about a Coleman out of Atlanta? Part of that Super Bowl offense that Matt LaFleur was a part of. But after 3-4 years, why not just draft the next guy?
Yeah.
Right? And I think, again, we mentioned being able to find a tight end in the mid-rounds. I think running back's the same boat. And you just find a guy who Tom, probably is more in line with the Aaron Jones skill set, but a more polished route runner, catcher of the football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some small guys and there's some big guys, you know, and it's really going to be what does Matt LaFleur covet in a running back. But I think there's no question that Aaron Jones is the guy he's going to build the offense around next year. And Jamal Williams will be part of it, too.
Yeah, I think so, and we'll find out. Aaron Jones told me on his way out of Green Bay, Tom, that he was going to actually work with receivers coaches this offseason, specifically route running and catching and being able to do those things. So now we'll see if he can put it together. But, you know, third year in, if you're going to learn at some point, right, you have a better grasp of it of what to do at the NFL level. So
yeah, we'll see. Definitely. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But, you know, it's not exactly a pick they're going to make very early on. Wide receivers, of course, the talk of wide receivers was DK Metcalf, who at 6'3½", 228 pounds, ran a 4.33 twice. And he bench pressed 225 pounds 27 times had a 40.5 vertical, 11 feet 2 inches on the broad jump. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, unofficially an 80-inch plus wingspan, which they don't really keep records for that, but, you know, that's you want to talk about high point, 40-inch vertical and an 80-inch catch radius.
Yeah,
is,
he has almost 35-inch arms, and nobody, one person had 34. Most of them were around 30 to 33.
He's interesting because every year, Tom, there always is the combine freak.
Yeah.
What's important to remember is his season ended last year with a neck injury that required surgery.
Right.
You know, Ole Miss at the time said it's not going to affect his long-term future. So, and being college athletics, it's not like the pros. We don't know what that surgery was yet.
Right.
What it meant. Is there a fusion in there? Was it a disc thing? I mean, nobody knows. And look, receivers are a little different than most when it comes to, I guess, trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a huge red flag. And then production-wise, yeah, his year was cut short. But, you know, here's a guy who's maybe caught 30 balls.
Yeah.
Maybe 40, I think, 2 years ago. So, I mean, he's, I guess we'll have to see if it translates.
Yeah. Packers have been going after some big receivers. I wonder if they're looking for a slot guy this year, whether, you know, they feel like they've got the length that they need, but they don't have a little guy with short area quickness.
That's a good point. Matt LaFleur commended the receiver room in general, saying he thought it was the most complete group he's been around. Obviously, Julio Jones top end is he's, you know, Devontae Adams is the first one he's had or been around. So you're right. I mean, you've got, assuming they tender Geronimo Allison and he remains, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, there's your big bodies down the field. Equanimeous St. Brown seems to get separation.
Yeah.
Seems to be available. But you're right. It'd be interesting to see if they can find, especially, Tom, if they go defensive back who doesn't have special teams experience,
right.
If they find, for lack of a better phrase, a new version of Randall Cobb, you know, a guy who they can work into the offense, catch 30 balls, but also, you know, is fairly reliable in a return game.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys, you know, with really good speed, and but you're going to have to question, you know, their size and height. Paris Campbell from Ohio State is a guy. Now, I wouldn't call him small.
Right.
I mean, he's almost 6 foot, and he's 205.
Pounds, yeah.
But he runs a 4.31, and he actually out jumped Metcalf in the long broad jump. So he's pretty much a stud too.
You know, Miles Boykin's interesting to me. He's another guy who kind of popped to a degree, 6'3", 220. So that he trends more to that big body type of guy, 4.4 speed, you know, 43.5-inch vertical.
Right.
Now, I won't lie. I mean, he's from my hometown.
Oh, is that right?
South side of Chicago. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that always helps.
You're biased. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
For some reason, Brian Gutekunst's staff loves Illinois guys, Spoon.
Really?
There's, you've got about a half dozen currently on the roster.
Yeah,
so I don't know if there's something in the water.
I know.
In the flatlands.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. We'll see. I think we're looking much later in the draft for wide receivers.
The names we mentioned, I think, are going to go in the top few rounds. And I think the Packers, this draft is just so suited towards needs that I guess I would be really stunned. And as you mentioned, impact. This draft, start with the first round, right? Assuming the CBA stays somewhat the same. You've got a 5-year window with the first round pick,
right?
4-year windows, everyone else. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers has got a 5-year deal at most. I think, you know, maybe you pick some projects later. You know, to me, J.K. Scott and Hunter Bradley and Jamon Moore were kind of those were your guys a year ago. To me, I think you're right. You've got to find offensive linemen, some defensive players, some secondary that can contribute right away.
Yeah. And, let's face it, I think your point was well formulated in that there's a lot of guys here who don't have a lot of time. You would think, oh, Matt LaFleur, he's got 5 years to figure it out. I don't, you know, based on his history and lack of experience, I don't think he has 5 years to get success, to be successful. Gutekunst, I think, really helped himself with that first draft. And if he hits on this draft, then I think he's safer than, say, you know, even Mark Murphy, if the coaching thing, you know.
Without a doubt.
Blows up in his face.
Yeah.
You know, him and Russ Ball are going to be part of the question. So there's a lot of people who would like to see them do now. Now, Brian Gutekunst's job is to look at the big picture. So we'll see how he handles
that. Yeah, what the balance is there, for sure. And, you know, I mentioned offensive line. I think that's the next thing we should look at here, Tom, because of the topics Matt LaFleur talked about, offensive linemen who can move and run. And now I think he gave a nod to Brian Bulaga in this sense where he said, well, we'll sacrifice some athleticism and speed for a big body, because at the end of the day, we're still going to throw it more than we run.
Right, right.
But the only two people he mentioned by name were David Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley.
Yes.
After that, it's okay, who can we get out? And I think this draft, I don't know if they're looking for a day one starter at guard in this draft, but they better find Bulaga's replacement at the least in 2 years and some guards who can compete.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I talked to a number of guys at the combine about the wide zone and the fact that that's what Green Bay is looking for. And there's guys that you look at and you go, well, you know, their three cone isn't very good. They're not really quick in short areas. And one of the guys, of course, because he's from around here, was Michael Dieter from Wisconsin. 6'5", 309. His 40 time was abysmal, 5.23. You know, but then you come back and his three cone isn't bad, 7.88. I mean, there's guys faster, but that's pretty good for 309. So this guy can move a little bit.
Right.
He fits what they do. I wouldn't say that about Bo Benshall. I don't think he fits what Green Bay's looking to do.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting because, you know, some of the more highly regarded prospects, you know, like a Cody Ford, I think the Jonah Williams, I think they didn't necessarily test fantastically, you know, in terms of their speed and whatnot. So I guess it, you know, some of this with the linemen will go to the tape because they come from an Alabama and Oklahoma who do run wide zone.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe in this three cone or 40 or whatever, it doesn't look great, but you put on the tape and you see that the guy can get out of a stance and
right.
get down the edge. So, you know, the linemen I tend to go with the film, I guess, and what they did on college.
Sure.
Especially now that these college schemes are infiltrating the league a little more than they were just even, you know, the 2015 draft class, I think, widely panned. A lot of failures there. I think even since then, the game has shifted where some of these linemen might actually perform a little better because of that.
Yeah. One guy that intrigued me a lot was Greg Little from Mississippi. Now, this guy, he's 6'5", 310, doesn't run very well, but he was huge when he got to Mississippi. I think he said he was 340, something like that. And he took off the weight. He got really serious about his conditioning. And you look at him, and he looks like a real tackle. He looks athletic. He didn't run the best, but he's got really long arms, 35 and a quarter arms, 10 and a quarter inch hands, which are really solid, and bench 25. So I'm kind of interested in him and whether he's a guy who could play right tackle or move inside. Interesting, you know, well-spoken guy, I thought.
Yeah, just to clarify, this is not the same Greg Little who was a first-round receiver bust.
No,
for the Cleveland Browns when they traded everyone and didn't take Julio Jones. No, you're right. I guess that's what I'm curious how the Packers will view this. You mentioned, we mentioned Andre Dillard. Do they take a guy they project as a right tackle in 2020,
right.
but he can play guard in 2019?
Yep.
The Nate Davis kid out of Charlotte, kind of that, you know, I guess he's not a sleeper anymore, but kind of small school guy, you know, there's potential there. But to me, though, if you're going to draft one of these guys in the top 100, what, four picks in the top 100?
Yeah.
You got to be ready to play, right?
Yeah. That's one reason I like Greg Little, because he played in the SEC and he faced all the best pass rushers every week. Dalton Risner is another interesting guy. Big, slow. But, you know, at guard, maybe he's got a little bit of movement. You know, his three cone was pretty good. And pretty long arms. You wonder if that's a guy that could play at right tackle or move inside.
Right. I think I'm sure we've got some Packers fans, some Green Bay natives shouting, what about Max Sharping?
Yeah.
He didn't run due to a hamstring injury that he's recovering from, but he did participate in a three cone in his 7.77, I guess with a tweaked hamstring.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And he was pretty insistent that he could play inside, outside, mm-hmm. and he was athletic enough to get out and block. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he's definitely getting drafted. It's just one of those, you know, where does this team feel a guy like that could fit?
I think the two guys, if the Packers were to use a pick on a tackle in the first round, would be Jonah Williams from Alabama and Juwan Taylor from Florida. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe Dillard starts to move up the board a little bit. But those would be, if they took those guys at 12, I wouldn't say, oh, that's a reach or that's a bad
pick. Where tackles go. I mean, yeah. To be quite honest, it's we've talked about this on this podcast before about Jason Spriggs' future. If you think there's a starting tackle, yes, I know the Packers have had good luck or good history drafting in the mid rounds, but generally speaking, your franchise tackles are higher picks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like finding the franchise corners. They tend to come in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got really lucky with David Bakhtiari. Yeah. Everybody, there were a lot of people who didn't think he was good, but he was on a crappy team. I mean, really a bad, bad team. You know, Brian Bulaga they took in the first round, and he came in and started in the Super Bowl. So that tells you a little bit about, you know, what that first round status means. So let's go to defense. This is probably what everybody wants to talk about or hear about. The defensive line is, like we said, it's really deep. And then some of these guys were just blowing up the times. Let's just go through what I would think would be, if we were saying this about running backs, you'd go, okay, if we were listing these times, you might say these are running backs. So Montez Sweat from Mississippi State at 6'5 and 3/4, 260, runs a 4.41.
Wow.
Brian Burns, Florida State, same height, 249, runs a 4.53. Ben, is it Benagu?
Yeah.
TCU, 6'3.5, 250, runs a 4.62. Rashawn Gary, Michigan, he's 6'4.5, 277, runs a 4.58. Chase Winovich from Michigan, almost 6'3, 256, runs a 4.59. I mean, that's just crazy.
They're running this fast or faster than a lot of the tight ends we just talked about.
Yeah.
As well as running backs. And these are giant men. It's interesting now because it's like the speed is just,
it's all over the place.
Yeah, before teams really looked, you had to look for it. And now it's just kind of there to let people know we're looking at the combine top performers. I mean, we've got the top 20 right here, and it's just shocking.
Yeah.
To a degree. And maybe it just means that there's more reliance on the tape and competition and what these guys did on the field, because, you know, based on these sheer numbers, how's Montez Sweat not in the top four picks?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, it comes to production.
Right.
You know, so
how does it translate?
Right. How does it translate? So if you were going to look at the top picks, and we know that Nick Bosa may be the top pick, or Kyler Murray, you know, if Arizona pulls that off, well, that's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, Bosa's about 6'4", 266, and he only runs a 4.79, but he's clearly, you know, the best player. I mean, he's got a bench press with 20.
Yeah, one of the strongest, if not the strongest, defensive linemen. Pretty close.
Yeah.
29 reps.
Yeah, giant hands, you know, so he knows how to use those hands. And so he's probably right there. The other guy, another guy who really showed out, I thought, was Quinnen Williams.
Right.
And he's going to be probably, he could be the third pick.
Yeah, it's,
Quinn from Alabama,
right. You know, again, 300 pounds. If you're, you know, we just mentioned 40 times, runs a 4.8. Is that fantastic? No. But again, you turn on the film.
Yeah.
And most of those Alabama defenders have been pretty good, but generally he's the one really wrecking stuff.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, he blows up a lot of plays, a lot of plays.
So you're right. It is about, you know, production. Like Brian Burns is interesting, Tom, for instance. You know, he said he gained 20 pounds or so, you know, just in the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to gain some more weight? And, of course, as Packers fans know, what are our favorite stories to write in training camp? Best shape of your life. I gained some weight.
Yeah,
I lost
right.
some weight. I'm not any slower.
Exactly.
I'm faster than I was, even though I weigh 30 pounds heavier. I mean, you know, I guess for me, that is interesting if guys are having to pack that much weight on in such a short amount of time. They've never played at that.
Right.
Let alone jumping to the next level. To me, I think, is Brian Burns, sure, he could be a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, it's, you know, maybe you're looking for guys who are close to what they played at.
Yeah.
And then you try to marry what you see on film with some of this, you know, T-shirt and short stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, another guy who will be taken before the Packers pick is Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
You mentioned him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean that's production and...
He's a fire hydrant, yeah. You know, and then he benched 32 and had a 36-inch vertical, 10-foot
yeah.
broad jump. I mean, that's athletic. He's going to be a really, really good three technique for somebody.
Yeah, especially in the mold. I think Geno Atkins was first. Aaron Donald came after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of teams feel they see what havoc that can cause. Now, look, the Packers have a guy in Kenny Clark
yeah.
who they feel pretty good about in that way. But, yeah, that that you mentioned three technique or depending on the formation, you know, where he lines up, having that guy in the center to collapse pockets from the middle, you need that.
Yeah.
In this day and age. I did have a question for you, Tom. You wrote
yes.
in your column that you thought that Rashawn Gary from
mm-hmm.
Michigan was the one guy who couldn't play edge
mm-hmm.
in Mike Pettine's system. I guess I'll answer or ask the question a lot of people are asking me because of that statement. What
mm-hmm.
what did that mean? What have you seen in terms of why he maybe not doesn't fit the same way others do?
I view him, and I could be wrong about this, but I view him as more like a 4-3 end, you know, which you could call that an edge rusher, but, you know, he's 277 pounds, and can he play outside linebacker for,
right.
You know, Pettine? Because that's what edge rushers do for Mike Pettine. They play outside and they have to drop into coverage.
Right.
They have to cover tight ends sometimes and running backs. And I don't know, you know, at 277 pounds, can he do that? You know, he is fast, 4.58, pretty good. But to me, he's like a hand down.
More of a traditional 4-3.
Yeah, yeah. Do you agree?
Disagree? No, I definitely, it was a, that was my first thought with him is that, you know, a lot of these guys have played these hybrid schemes where they are dropping back. They do feel comfortable to a degree.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the difference there would be, you know, some of these guys talked about, you know, teams were telling them in interviews, well, you got to work on your contain,
mm-hmm.
you know, set an edge in the run game. So maybe that would be, you know, if Brian, you know, Gutekunst and Mike Pettine determine, hey, Rashawn Gary's the best pure pass rusher, and we could teach him how to drop back.
Absolutely.
You know?
Or, you know, they can use him on third down. They can create a 4-3 scheme
yeah.
if that's what it comes down to. You know, and now that they use the, you know, three safety personnel so often, there's ways you
yeah.
can protect him. So if he were, but I know there's some questions about his, you know, ability, his effectiveness.
Right.
I mean, he definitely has the physical ability to do it.
So I do want to, you know, the one guy, you mentioned this in some of our videos during the week over at PackersNews.com,
yeah.
how this was sort of a blah combine.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, there's no controversy. There, you know, a couple guys weren't invited, but they weren't of the stature of, say, Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one guy who, I guess, stirred the pot a little bit was Ja'Kai Polite
mm-hmm.
from Florida. And the reason I bring him up is, A, there's a thought that he could be there at 12.
Mm-hmm.
Fits that pass rush need, if you will. didn't test well.
No.
And went up on the podium and basically said he didn't like any interviews he was a part of, save for the Rams, because they bashed him by...
That's what he considered it.
Yes, that was the word he used, meaning, and what does that mean? To him, it meant only bad plays, only plays he made mistakes on,
right,
as well as, you know, maybe some character questions, or in his words, the why questions. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess he made some news with that. Does that type of thing matter? Or when you marry a 4'8", you know, 40 and not participating in some other ones that, you know, add that other stuff. He's a kid who came in, played 270 at D tackle as a true freshman, played last year at 242. Now he's up to 258, mm-hmm, as he's trying to find that weight. I mean, yeah, it just seems like there's so much happening with him.
Yeah. And that's going to hurt him. I mean, maybe there's a team that just thinks that it's an immaturity issue and it'll take care of itself eventually. But, yeah, I'm not sure I'd put him in that group that we're talking about. Or the other guy we didn't mention was Clelin Farrell, who's probably in that group as well. Not as athletic as the other guys, but very productive. And, you know, there's a lot of Clemson guys in this draft, and they are so good on defense. You have to wonder, even if they're not great testers or whatever, they seem to be good football players.
Yeah, you know, to go back what we said about immediate impact and what's the window here, you know, I think there's always room for projects and development, but there's something, to me at least, there's something to be said for drafting guys who have played a lot of football, have stayed healthy, and know how to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not teaching them about that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, if you draft a guy and his best years are in the first 3 years of his deal, I mean, that suits what the Packers are looking for. And that could be these Clemson guys or like these Alabama guys who maybe, you know, do they play 12 years? I don't know. They're kind of beat up. They play a lot of football.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you kind of know what you're getting as well.
Yeah, someone also told me to keep an eye on Anthony Nelson from Iowa, that he's kind of an intriguing guy. I think he's bigger than Kyler Fackrell. I mean, much heavier. But he's 6'7", and, you know, he's got the really long wingspan. Didn't do great on the bench, decent vertical, decent broad jump. But he's like one of these developing guys, and makes me wonder. Well, the guy just said keep an eye on him, so I am going to, and we'll see what he does at his pro day and what people are saying about him. So let's see. I think we covered. Another guy I thought was intriguing was Christian Wilkins from Clemson. You know, another Clemson guy that really good run player, and you put him. You know, let's say they do take a big run-stopping tackle. You put him with Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, you know, all of a sudden you got a pretty good run-stopping defensive line, or you throw Tyler Lancaster in there. They might be able to do some damage stopping the run if they get a decent guy there.
Yeah, I think if you can, you know, Mike Daniels is, what, age 30? Coming off a pretty severe foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can limit his responsibilities in the run game and get him in some more favorable matchup at this stage, it's not the worst thing in the world. Same thing with Kenny Clark. I mean, you know, if they were a playoff team, would he have tried to gut it out with that elbow injury? Maybe. But, you know, let's not forget he missed time with a pretty severe injury. So, yeah, mm-hmm, you know, being able to fortify that front, where those guys maybe don't have to take that every down run beating.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Kenny Clark was on pace to play 80% of the snaps. And playing that much in the trenches, you're lucky if you don't get hurt. And, you know, I think they probably could have wrapped that elbow up. But, you know, he said that there was concern of long-term damage, so they didn't want to mess around with it. And probably a good move given, you know, where they were. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple. I mean, there's some just big guys that the Packers will have to take a look at, and especially in later rounds.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some real talent. Or as Gutekunst said with Ted Thompson, you know, he said, what was the phrase he said? There's talent always, everywhere,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's always a good player when you're drafting. It's just up to you to find
them. Yeah, you have to find it. So it's not about where you're picking. It's about who you're picking. Let's go to linebackers, because that could be, you know, this is more inside guys and some edge guys. But, you know, I think the most, the guys who are the big pass rushers are in the group that we were just talking about. But, you know, there is a really good inside linebacker, Devin White from LSU. He's sort of like a kid from Chicago.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, Roquan Smith. Look what he did for their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about Khalil Mack, and obviously that was huge. But, you know, you have a guy who can pursue. This guy ran a 4.42, a 237 pounds, and 39.5 vertical. He's a tackling machine. I've seen him just blow up screens, and, you know, he's from LSU.
The question I have there, Tom, is where does this sort of rate priority-wise? I mean, you know, first of all, Jake Ryan's coming off a torn ACL and a free agent. You would imagine if the Packers want him back, it's probably a deal they could get done.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Oren Burks a year ago, who I'm sure you're watching this stuff. You're talking about size and speed and, you know, what he did or what he could do. I mean, now that we know Mike Pettine's defense, to me, inside linebacker seems like mid-round pick, like a guy who fits some measurables, has some potential, but, okay, this is a guy who can play special teams. It seems like if they find the right safety help, they get that pass rusher. Where does this actually fit the way he plays so many different sub-packages with these DBs?
Yeah, but, I mean, this guy runs so well that he's going to be on the field every down. You know, he's going to be able to cover people. I just think that this guy is a great football player. And if he's sitting there and you can add him to your defense, who cares who else you have?
Yeah.
You know, even with Blake Martinez, if you can add a better athlete and he can be your four down guy and Blake Martinez winds up being, you know, two down guy, so be it. But you got to add playmakers to that defense. You got to have some real special guys. And I don't know if he is that guy, but I know he tested well, and just watching highlights of him, he's really good.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how that plays, because to me, you would think Roquan Smith was a top 10 pick, right? You know, I guess I'm just curious to see how the rest of the league views inside linebackers in these early
they don't
rounds.
Value
they could,
them.
Yeah, they could, right.
They don't value them very much, but, you know, every once in a while, there's a Roquan Smith,
right.
And, you know, what he can do for your defense.
So what if he's gone in the top 10? I mean, is that one of those things where it's like, okay, well, that was that guy. There's other areas we can address, I guess, you know what I mean, in terms of the Packers needing to use high draft capital on this particular position?
Well, they don't need to. I mean, they don't need to at all. I think the only question is, would he be the best football player on the board?
Yeah.
You know, last year they had a chance to take Tremaine Edwards, the inside linebacker. Great athlete, great, you know, and played in Green Bay and looked pretty darn good when I saw him with Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
And so that could tell you a little bit. Well, we know they needed corners, so that was a factor. But, you know, they did pass that up, and maybe they do if he's still there, they just pass him up.
I
don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, no, you're right, though. He's kind of the one guy who stands out. I mean, I think Devin Bush from Michigan people know of.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think the Mack Wilson out of Alabama is interesting. You know, a guy who's kind of puts himself out there and maybe didn't the production didn't match the personality mm-hmm. to a degree, but you know, he did play for Alabama and Purdue. So there's always, it seems like there's always, to me at least, I think in this particular defense, you know, maybe you can find a guy who can help you in the middle rounds, I guess, because right. there's so much other talent up there.
Absolutely.
We'll see.
Yeah. Absolutely. It all depends yeah. on who's there with him. You know, and it's not going to, to me, it's not a priority. It's just, I only bring it up because what if in their minds he is
yeah.
one of the 12 right. best players in the draft? So we didn't mention Josh Allen from Kentucky. He's listed as a linebacker. He's going to be picked yeah. before the Packers pick. I mean, he's almost 6'5", 262, ran a 4.63, 28 on the bench, didn't do the vertical. Hands aren't really that big.
Pass rusher.
Decent. Yeah. He's just a guy who's gifted. A gifted pass rusher. There's some guys who are and some guys who aren't, and he is. So, anything else with that? Let's go to
DBs. I think this is an interesting group for me because I think this is, you mentioned playmakers and finding guys who can fit, and, you know, there's some interesting guys here, I think.
Yeah. Is there a guy at 12 you think is worth taking?
That I don't think so. Right, because I think they still have two first round corners that they like. I think they will assume Kevin King's going to be healthy. but I will say this: I love corners. I love corner play, and yeah. I think if you're going to get one that's really good, mm-hmm. you have to get them in the first round. But that doesn't mean 12. That could be 30. I think for me, Tom, it's more about finding that better safety than necessarily a corner.
Right. Well, you have the possibility. I mean, I think with Kevin King, if a corner is there that stands out, you know, I guess the only guy we'd be probably talking about is Greedy Williams from LSU, who ran a 4.37. You don't find a lot of corners who run 4.37. 39.5 vertical, 10.6 broad jump. You know, and has played big time football. Right. So if you're sitting there in your Green Bay and you got Kevin King, but you're not really sure, and this guy is so athletic, and you know, you're like, put him with Jair Alexander and nobody will throw on us. I don't know. I don't know if you pull that trigger. It's not a need.
Right.
But again, you have to think about getting guys who can who are impact players.
Yeah.
And you'll find a place to put them.
Yes. Mike Pettine's proved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, and I put it this way, if a corner's drafted in the first round, it might drive some people crazy, but as I said, if Greedy Williams is there and Brian Gutekunst just happens to think, well, look, I can move up from 30, or at 30, I'm going to get a guy who I feel just as good about, you know, getting to the quarterback. I'm not going to complain. Look at that, where this league is going.
Yeah. What, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with him going at 12. I don't care where the guy plays. I want the best player available. Yeah. The most, the guy who is going to have some kind of impact somewhere.
Day one starter.
Yeah. And who cares what position it's at? I mean, if it's at a position where, what would it, I'm not sure the Packers have a position that's, you know, wide receiver, then I might trade out of there, you know, or pick a lesser guy. But, they just need players, big-time players somewhere.
No, I agree with that. And Mike Pettine proved he can move guys around. And look, if they're rolling out there with a healthy Kevin King and Jair Alexander and let's just say Greedy Williams, you're on three corners with Josh Jackson kind of being mixed in there and some
you'd
dime
assume
or some safety.
Or I you'd mean, assume he'd be moved to safety.
I don't think Mike Pettine would be upset about that.
No. And, you know, they may re-sign Bashaud Breeland, too. And as they showed, you can't have enough corners.
Exactly. They get hurt.
Yep, they get hurt.
And the two you have, when healthy, are good. But Alexander missed games with that groin injury.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. And as we all know, Kevin King's issues. So, it's an area you can't have enough of.
Mm-hmm.
The safety is what's interesting. I mean, I
know, are there some guys you?
Well, I think it was Deontay Thompson, I believe, from Alabama, did not participate. He had a wrist surgery, apparently, mm-hmm. that should be okay. I don't know how the Packers, this is my first draft going through them. I don't know how they feel about guys who are having postseason surgeries right before the draft. Seems to be a red flag.
They have to be careful. I mean, look at what happened with Kevin King.
Right.
Found out his shoulder needed to be repaired.
Right. One name we wrote about him heading into the combine, unfortunately, a high ankle sprain. You know, he played through at the Senior Bowl, believe it or not, prevented from working out, and that's Nasir Adderley out of Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of that Adderley family.
Mm-hmm.
5'11", 206, converted corner. He kind of fits that hybrid mold of the deep safety, ball skills. He's came up as a corner,
mm-hmm.
so he knows how to cover. He's a guy that's interesting. It's a kid out of Florida, too, that I am the long last name, Johnson, is the last name out of Florida. Same kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
where converted corner, SEC kid, been around the ball. I kind of like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, excuse mm-hmm. me. Yeah, so those are two guys I kind of like because it seems like they would fit Mike Pettine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Being able to do both if necessary.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we kind of lose sight of, they do need a veteran safety yeah. because Tremont Williams is a cornerback,
yeah. right.
you know, and he shouldn't be playing safety. He did okay, you know,
yeah.
but he should be playing corner. And they need to find a veteran. I don't think Kentrell Bryce is the answer. I like Ibrahim Campbell. But he's got a torn ACL, and who knows when he's going to be ready. Eddie Pleasant isn't that guy. Josh no. Jones, you know, they'll keep working with him.
Yeah.
But he's not that veteran guy who runs the show back there
right.
by any means. So they got to find some guy like that in free agency.
And there's going to be plenty of veterans out there. Safety market is not as we record this, it sort of becomes official. The Giants put it out there. They're not franchise tagging mm-hmm. Landon Collins, so he's the top of the market. He's got the Honey Badger. You've got other guys around the league who, frankly, Tom, they're either being cut or not re-signed
mm-hmm.
because that market's deflating. This is the third year in a row
yeah.
where veteran safeties are having a hard time getting paid. Earl Thomas says he wants $15 million a year. Well, God bless him if he gets it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You know, and maybe... Maybe he's got one team, and that's Jerry,
yeah.
who will pay it. But so I think it's a buyer's market in that way of finding a veteran who can run the defense they want, and then maybe the compliment is, okay, Josh Jones, 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you at with that?
I agree. I agree with you totally because I don't think you have to I don't think you have to take a safety high
no.
in the draft. I think you can develop some guys and you can get a veteran. So they have some options there. It's, you know, corner is going to be the strength of their defense. And there, if they can build even better, fine. But right. I wouldn't waste too high a pick on a safety. I agree with you. It's not really the position that it used to be.
Right. It kind of gone the way of inside linebacker. Kind of to a degree. I mean, I think if you can have a front seven who gets after the quarterback and a couple corners who can lock stuff, I mean, you just naturally at some point that ball's coming out
yeah.
too fast or in the wrong place, and the middle of your defense, as long as it's just solid, they know where they're supposed to be, you'd probably be okay.
Yeah, yep, definitely. Well, I think we're out of position groups. We're not going to do the specialists because...
No. but a quick note on that, however, is obviously they'd spent draft capital on two of those. Brian Gutekunst seemed to really like Mason Crosby. I mean, he once again paid tribute to the problems of kicking at Lambeau, but he didn't mm-hmm. say if there's a guy there to bring in to compete, sure, they would look at it.
Out.
He didn't rule it out, but he didn't make it a point of emphasis, and I think, you know, free agency wise, he said, you know, look, they'll try to find, you know, some deals to make. I guess what I'd be curious, Tom, is do they go all in, if you will, on a Za'Darius Smith, a Preston Smith, some of these second tier veteran pass rushers that were not franchise tagged?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way to go? You know, or does Jimmy Graham and his first foray into free agency a year ago kind of make him a little gun shy?
Yeah, I think what typically happens, and they have to be real careful, is when these really good pass rushers, Jadeveon Clowney, and I just mentioned Dee Ford, DeMarcus Lawrence, is that the next group, all of a sudden, you wind up paying them like the other guys because there's nobody else there to pay, you know? And so you end up paying someone, Za'Darius Smith, $15 million a year, you know, and everybody's going to be like, what are you doing,
right.
You know? And so you have to be really careful with that to overpay.
They already got a guy like that on their roster to a degree with Nick Perry.
Yeah, right. So, and that'll be interesting, too. I don't know. I sort of got the sense that they felt they could carry Nick Perry's number. My guess is that they're going to try to renegotiate that number. And I think they could do that with Jimmy Graham, too, find a way to get them to earn it through playtime. But, you know, both guys would have to be willing to do something like that.
Yeah. And where does Clay Matthews fit in that? Because he's no longer in the first tier of pass rushers, no longer in that second tier. He's in that next group. I mean, does his market change slightly as now there's only, you know, seven guys that, as we mentioned, that will probably get paid. And now he's down here. There's still that name value. There's still the all it takes is one. So where does he kind of fit now, do you think?
Well, mark my words. I think New England will be one of the teams that will look at him. He's a perfect New England type guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a smart football player. He's a veteran. You know, you tell him what to do and he can do it. You know, he has talents that Belichick can still get something out of. And Belichick, you know, sort of allowed the Packers to, well, I think New England was the team they traded up with. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about how he blew that pick. And, you know, this would be his chance to see what he could do with a guy like Matthews. I wonder whether they'll go after him. He just seems like their type of player.
Right. It's interesting. There's only a couple free agents on this team, you know, that anyone really seems like it would matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Clay Matthews would probably be at the top of the list. You mentioned Kentrell Bryce earlier. So restricted free agency. So, you know, by the time you're listening to this, maybe the Packers have made some decisions on Geronimo Allison. I mean, they have a week to make that call to formally offer these tenders, or if other teams want to force their hand.
They have up until the start of free agency, which is March 13th, I believe, at 3 o'clock. They have to either send and the tender for the lowest tender is $2.025 million. That's a lot of money.
You know,
that's what Jason Spriggs will make if they decide to keep him. That's what Allison will make if they decide to keep him. That's what Bryce will make if they decide to keep him. Who else am I missing on restricted guys? It was Allison, Bryce.
I think you're thinking of Antonio Morrison as well.
Antonio Morrison.
Just with that fourth-year guy who's may not be restricted, but the
but he has it in his contract.
Most guys
in the fourth, if you did a four-year deal, the fourth year usually is the tender. It gets bumped up to the tender, lowest tender number. So that's four guys that count for $8 million, and none of them are starters.
Right.
Well, Bryce is kind of has been a starter.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they have we spent a lot of time on Jimmy Graham and Nick Perry, right, this offseason. What do they do? But these are some of those kind of mid – Bryce was a starter. Geronimo Allison was a starter.
Yeah.
So say what you want about at least those two. You know, those are some decisions to make that – is it a lot of money? No. But if they're gone, all of a sudden now you need – you're that's another hole
yeah.
you're looking to replace. So it It's not a lot of money, but some interesting decisions.
And we didn't even talk about Randall Cobb.
Right.
I just get the sense that they're moving on there.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an issue. But, again, there's another guy I could see playing for Belichick because of the multifaceted talents, you know. He could line up at quarterback and line up at running back. He can be a slot guy. He can be a wide receiver. I just don't know how they view him. If he's the kind of route runner that Tom Brady absolutely demands, and that'll be the big question. But there will be someone who will take a chance on him.
I think so, too. He'll look at the age of 28 and look at the hamstrings, say, oh, I'm sure there's something left. To me, coming in here a year ago, Tom, and seeing the draft picks, right, I guess the emergence of Jay Coon forever, that whatever that's worth. He played at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed the writing was on the wall. With, obviously, Jordy Nelson, that happened quickly. And Randall Cobb, I think, you know, it seems like the team is ready to move on, and they set this up a year ago.
If Equanimeous St. Brown doesn't emerge the way he did, I wonder if they think a little bit more about Cobb. But he really flashed at the end of the year and appeared to be a really good route runner and in position a lot of times. And then, you know, Allison's a bit of a question mark because of that injury. But if he is back, then, you know, they have three really good receivers right there. So with Valdez-Scantling. We'll see how that goes. But I don't expect them to make a run at Cobb.
Yeah, no, and I think you look at the rest of the free agent market, it's worth talking about. There's a short amount of time before this is legal tampering is March 11th,
mm-hmm.
coming up fast.
Legal tampering.
Legal tampering.
Just think of that
right.
Phrase.
So I don't see, you know, maybe if it's on defense, but I don't see they spent $30 million on a tight end last year. I don't see a receiver on the market that is going to blow their side. I don't see a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, or a guard. I mean, maybe Roger Saffold out of L.A., mm-hmm. 30 years old. You know, guards are getting paid, though.
Yeah,
huge. I mean, they're getting paid left tackle money now,
mm-hmm.
essentially. I can't recall Bakhtiari's deal off the top of my head, but,
yeah.
you know, Zeitler and Andrew Norwell are in that territory.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Do you pay for that? I think that's the interesting part of free agency.
Yeah, yeah. And either have you learned the lesson by going with Jari Evans and Byron Bell that maybe you should just pay?
Right.
Or do you keep going that way and, you know, wait for a rookie to take it over?
Yeah.
You know,
With a brand new offensive line coach who's never done it, do you trust them enough? You give them a couple rookies and say, all right, develop it, or do you kind of help everybody out and say, Roger Saffold's been running this offense for X amount of years.
Exactly.
Let's just pay this guy.
Right.
And then maybe we only have to worry about developing one one position for a year.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a great question. I think that's a lot of decisions to make. I mean, this is what happens when you're a 6-win team, right?
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of holes and problems.
Yeah.
These are the things you have to figure out.
Yeah, no question. So, we'll be with you. I don't know. Maybe we can sneak one in right before free agency just to talk about who's going to be available.
Yeah.
We'll know who's going to be available.
We'll have a better feel. You know, veterans who are being released, and some guys are going to sign extensions before then. So you figure this RFA situation with Bryce and Allison will probably be resolved before. The team wants to know what kind of cap money they're going to be working with for sure.
Yeah. We'll definitely have one after free agency.
Yeah, so, you know, jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Make sure to subscribe to the Journal Sentinel. Download, subscribe to the Packers News app. Turn on the notifications, especially this time of year. You want us in your pockets. You do. You want that buzz because you want to know what's happening. And, of course, all of our social media platforms, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find us wherever you are. So for Tom Silverstein, I'm Jim Ozarski, Packers Podcast. We'll see you next time.